The triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. On the eve of the summer services, I will read from the letter to the Hebrews, the last chapter, chapter 13, the first verses. The words are, in Jesus' name. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. We have heard already through the brothers many times quotations from the book of Hebrews. I have listened carefully because the text that I chose is from this end of the book of Hebrews. The parts quoted by the brothers encouraged us to believe. The entire letter to the Hebrews is a letter of encouragement, a letter of exhortation, a sermon. And as we heard through the brothers, the central exhortation is to believe and come before the throne of grace. Jesus Christ is the throne of grace, and we can, with all of our hearts and all of our courage, we can come to him. This letter to the Hebrews, it is a sermon. The writer, we are not exactly sure who wrote this letter, but the writer knew that this letter would be read in the congregation, in the services of God. This letter, it encourages. It encouraged the receivers of the letter and us to believe and through faith to live because this letter to the Hebrews, it is a very caretaking type of letter for the soul. The writer of the letter, at the same time, was a theologian who borrowed from the word that was written earlier, and at the same time, he was a caretaker of souls. In the midst of the Hebrew congregation to whom this letter was written, there were certain problems. If we take a look at the background, to illuminate the background in the congregation, it belonged to that Christian generation that had never heard the Lord Himself preaching salvation, the word of salvation. The congregation had heard the testimony of the apostles, and they were dependent on that. For this reason, at the end of the text, there is a reminder. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I understand in this way that a testimony was left of these teachers, and we are reminded that their souls were acceptable unto God. And when we are exhorted to remember the teachers, the idea probably is that the congregation prays on behalf of the speakers, the teachers, that God would open His word so that His children could be nourished. This carried me to this place, and I came here with this prayer. The writer of this letter to the Hebrews was also a caretaker of souls. So he here in his sermon or his letter, he very sensitively remaining or maintaining the word of God. He didn't set about to hit or hurt, but to heal. He does not discuss in his sermon. He doesn't talk about detailed examples. Instead, he generalizes. Because he was a theologian, he stayed within the Word of God. And because he also took care of souls, at the same time, he is harsh and mild and critical and understanding and judging yet tolerant. Though the sermon many times is so that one speaks and many listen. It's a kind of monologue. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews, when we read this letter, he creates here the foundation for a dialogue with those who would read the letter. So this monologue, it becomes a dialogue. And the writer of the letter confesses himself that he too is under danger along with the congregation. Through our brother today, the word of God was made clear how our Christian faith, it is a faith of resurrection. Paul wrote that if Christ had not been resurrected, our faith would be in vain. But Christ did rise up again. When he was resurrected, Christ came before his own and only his own. Through the wives, the message was sent out that the grave was empty. And soon the disciples, behind locked doors, they were joined by he who was resurrected. We ask, when this letter was written to the second generation Christians, that why so soon? About 50 years following the resurrection, why in that congregation had they ended up in such a condition? A condition with these problems, so that the writer of this letter had to address the problems with this letter in a loving way. Paul is mentioned in this letter, and the writer, the theologian, comes very close. Paul also marveled to the Galatians that why so soon have you allowed yourselves be removed from a healthy Christian doctrine. The writer of this letter to the Hebrews, in the same way, reminded this congregation he said, let brotherly love continue. He was worried about repentance, about faith, baptism, the resurrection. And the judgment, matters of the judgment. The writer of this letter to the Hebrews, he wanted that the people in the congregation would leave and begin, because of this letter, after reading it, they would begin to search and learn about Jesus and the highest priesthood. And so, this first exhortation at the beginning of the text, let brotherly love continue. It seems to review and remind us that we have a place of watching. That the congregation would be able to live in faith, hope, and love. And Paul also wrote in the book to the Corinthians how love was the greatest of all. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. And this writer of the letter to the Hebrews, he said, let brotherly love continue. And this, of course, does not close out the sisters. Here in this letter, in a loving way, he speaks to those who would read the letter. He called them beloved, and this stresses or emphasizes that he wished to live and share the difficult phases that the congregation was living through and encourage to believe that perfection, learning about Jesus and the highest priesthood, that this would be the dominant thing to focus on in the congregation. That the congregation would follow their Redeemer and not stop and struggle with the beginning ABCs of the doctrine of Christ. Paul, in his letter, said, that Christ does not need to be brought down from heaven, but look, He is in your mouths. In your heart, it is the word about redemption. That is what we speak of. And the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, he also tried to explain the same message. The gospel is a tool for caring for souls. Those receiving this letter, they were distressed. And if I freely borrow, he said that you must be fed my milk because your stomach cannot stand stronger food, but this is necessary. And so the writer of this letter brings this forth in his letter. You who should be teachers, you need to learn. And so, at the same time, he is harsh yet mild. He is critical yet understanding. He is judging yet tolerant. The gospel is a tool for caring for souls. And in that congregation, people seemed to be stopped and standing in place and had a strong fear of death. And the writer of this letter brings forth the gospel, which frees people from slavery and fear of death. And he exhorts, encourages that they would examine perfection and study the highest priesthood and the fear of death. To this, the writer here brings forth the word and brings the gospel. Jesus freed all who lived in the fear of death. And because of this fear, we're enslaved. So we see that Jesus, by winning death, he rose again. It was victorious over death on that third day. This is a letter written by a theologian. Tells about Christ and the origins of Christ. And a lot is also explained through the Psalms. Also in the Old Testament, the sacrificial worship to God, it almost gives place that the highest priests of the Old Testament, they also seem to have problems with death. Death did not allow them to remain in their offices. Jesus overcame death and is eternal. He represents eternal priesthood. And many writers are remembered, and we are reminded tonight that Jesus lives. Jesus lives always, and he prays on behalf of his own. Another problem here was temptations. And temptations are connected to fear of death. And also, in general, weaknesses. When we read this letter, certain temptations have caused anxiety and persecution. This congregation withstood persecution and the writer of this letter seems to point out how God has not left his own ever. Not during times of persecution or ever. Jesus, the highest priest, who has reconciled the sins of all people, he is a help to those who are suffering. And he is merciful and full of grace towards all who are troubled. Those receiving this letter they are reminded that Jesus can assist those who are troubled and those who fall into sin. For he too once was flesh and blood. He was tempted more than anyone, and yet he didn't fall into sin. God has set Jesus on the throne of grace. And so, we are encouraged to come near this throne of grace. Those who received this letter, we can see that they became slow to hear the word. And the writer of this letter offers the gospel here as a solution. The word of God, it is powerful always. And when the prophets preached and proclaimed the will of God, he preached, "Listen, heavens and earth. Listen, for the Lord speaks." He has told us what is right and what the Lord demands. Be mild and humble before your God. God did not bring himself forward, only he did it through the prophets. And this is why listening is so important. He who has ears, hear. Faith comes through hearing, by and through the Word of God. Today, also, faith comes from hearing. Without the sermon of the gospel, there is no true faith. He who receives the word It is said that he should lend his ears to the word, that he would hear the word and receive it with faith. That we would follow the Lord obediently. There is a kind of spiritual deafness. The gospel, sometimes it is not wished to be heard, and this comes from disobedience. And the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, he preaches of Jesus and his salvation, how he is the highest priest, who fulfilled the work of salvation as directed by God. The Son was obedient to God. And he fulfilled his duty perfectly as the highest priest. He was perfect, and he achieved salvation for all those who are obedient to him. Disobedience causes the heart to harden, and this leads to loss of faith. As those people who journeyed in the wilderness were an example. It's almost as though the person turns away from the living God. The writer also wrote how the congregation has lost their hope and their future. And with the gospel, it is like a tool for caring of the souls. And the writer also wrote about the second coming of the Lord, and that was about 2,000 years ago that he wrote this. Still, the writer wrote that soon he will come and he will not tarry. It is so important that we today also we remember this. Soon he will come. God will not tempt or tease anyone. Ah. Just as he once rose up, he will once again return. It said here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. God has spoken through angels. God has taken care of his people through angels who proclaim his word. Angels are spirits that serve. And they are sent to those who are heirs of eternal life. Word spoken through angels here are references to the commandments and how they protect and guide us. And about the commandments, God will judge, for he hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Almost as though a skillful surgeon, this writer of this letter to the Hebrews, he guides his congregation and he guides us to live in faith. To find solutions through this faith. When we live in faith, we are living within the unity of the congregation of God in obedience. So the Word of God today also invites and collects and illuminates and protects in the right faith. For this reason, the people of God have collected here together, come together to these summer services so that we could get strength to go forwards, so that we could see the view, that we would not get lost along the way, that we, as the people of God, traveling, that we would find support and strength through the promise of God so we can achieve that destination. It is before us. We can remember people who have gone before and have already achieved that destination. Our journey, it is still in progress, but we can continue safely traveling according to the promises of God. And Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even today, he can help those who are distressed. And he wishes to show the way to go forwards. I am the way, I am the light and the life. Today also he is here on his throne of grace. You can raise you service guest at these services. You can lift up your heart to believe Your sins are forgiven. Through the name and blood, atonement blood, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and remember that you are carried. Jesus himself, as the highest shepherd and priest, prays on your behalf. Stay in the congregation of God and travel, and we can believe our own sins forgiven. And so we will remain in the Word and his blessed name. In Jesus' name, amen.